This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Civic Matters. Every Monday, we get together with the executive director of the Civ City Initiative to discuss some of the ways you can become more civically engaged throughout the course of the coming week. And welcome back to you, Mary Morgan.
David, how are you?
It has been a spectacular weekend, and looking forward to a spectacular week ahead. For years, there's been a conversation about whether Ann Arbor and its residents might benefit if a city income tax were to be imposed. It's a conversation that will come back before a working session of Ann Arbor City Council tonight. Why now?
Ah, the old city income tax chestnut. You know, I think this is just something that is going to keep coming up again and again as cities look for additional revenue sources. In Michigan, there are constraints on what cities can do to raise revenue. For example, I know that the city would love to have a sales tax and capture some of the revenue from all of those ticket sales at the University of Michigan, but they can't do that. So, you know, they'll talk about it. I don't get the sense that the staff, in particular, the chief financial officer, is particularly enthusiastic about this. It emerged as a possible topic from a budget retreat about a year ago, and I think they're just following up on that.
Now, if a course of action for a city tax were agreed upon, and by all accounts that would be at least a year or two away, it would have to win voter approval. It would impose a 1% tax on residents, a 0.5% tax on those who work in the city but live beyond its borders. Have any assessments been officially done to determine how much money that would raise for the city?
I think the current estimate I've heard is around an additional $11 million. But it would really depend on the circumstances of, you know, there's just a wide variety of variables. The other thing to note is that the general operating millage that's currently levied would be eliminated if an income tax were imposed. So there would be that $11 million is a net gain after factoring in the elimination of the operating millage.
After all the years of conversation on a potential city income tax, it has not come before voters before. And that's in large part to surveys and sentiments that show it likely lacked the kind of support needed to pass. Do you have any sense that that sentiment has changed?
I don't see any appetite for a city income tax. You know, I think that the one of the issues that's raised is the people who come in who have lower income jobs, who would be taxed, that there's sort of the economic equity issue. The city is looking at potentially getting some of the higher income folks who work at the university but don't live in the city, but you'd also capture, all levels of income. It's possible that they could propose something that would set a minimum thresholds for income level before it's taxed, but, it's very early days. I think it should be on people's radar, but there's a lot of discussion.
You're not going to see it on the ballot anytime soon.
No.
If you want to be a part of the city income tax discussion, tonight's council meeting begins at 7 p.m. at City Hall. And you did bring up some good points there, Mary. Do you think it may be a part of the conversation at tomorrow's Ann Arbor Economic Summit on affordability and quality of life?
I would hope so. I mean, it would be a very relevant factor in terms of, talking about economic development and trying to get companies to locate here. It's going to be interesting to see what happens out of that summit. This is a new thing that the city's taken on. Former city council member Sally Peterson is heading it up. So I'll be really curious to see what comes out of the summit tomorrow.
As will we all. This is Civic Matters on 89.1 WEMU. David Farrell with my co-host Mary Morgan, who serves as executive director of the Civ City Initiative. Certainly don't have to tell you, Mary, we're living in rather tumultuous times. We're a country that certainly had our fair share of difficulties in our relatively short history. But right now it seems to be taking a serious toll. The number of suicides across the country, particularly for young people, is on the rise, and that includes right here in Washtenaw County. September happens to be Suicide Prevention Month. What is Washtenaw County doing to increase both awareness and education on the matter?
Well, they're doing several things, and I think it's important to recognize as we talk about civic matters, The county's public health and community mental health departments have a lot of responsibility, both mandated and unmandated, for taking care of some of these issues that relate to public health. And so they had a summit on the increase in suicides earlier this year. So they've really tried to heighten awareness about it. There's a website that they have put up. They've started a parent support group. It just began in August, and it meets on the first and third Mondays of each month in the evenings. It's one more way to try to support people who have loved ones who are, either attempted suicide or have committed suicide. And I think really they just want people to know that there are resources available if there is somebody in crisis, so that you can reach out for help, or you can, try to alert somebody if they need help themselves.
Well, if you are in need of any kind of suicide prevention resources, don't hesitate to reach out. You can visit the Washtenaw County Public Health page at ewashtenaw.org, and it will guide you to the people and the places that you need to know about. Mary, one of the most popular ways to engage in the future of our communities, of course, is to vote. In November of 2018, we're likely to see a number of ballot issues, from legalization of recreational marijuana to increase minimum wage, to an issue that would end the practice of gerrymandering, all the way to whether or not the Michigan legislature should be a part-time entity. That, of course, is all dependent on organizers gathering enough valid petition signatures to qualify for the ballot. Have you ever been a part of an active petition drive?
I have not. In my role as a journalist, I try to step back from that. I have signed petitions, because just signing petition to get something on the ballot is not an endorsement necessarily. But I think it's important sort of public process. And holy cow, I went to the Carytown Book Fest over the weekend, and petitioners
there were a lot of booths, weren't there?
Droves. I think any public gathering, we're going to see a lot of petition signature collectors. So everybody needs to, a lot of these ballot proposals are really long and complicated. I think we all need to get educated, so that when somebody comes up and approaches us, we're not like making a decision on the spot about whether to sign or not.
And along those lines, as a journalist, you know that the process of getting something to the ballots can be difficult, time-consuming, often expensive. For those interested in learning exactly what it takes, the Michigan State University Extension Office is offering an overview of the process this week. What's that going to include?
MSU Extension, I am a huge fan of their civic engagement work, and they periodically put out information about issues related to oftentimes statewide issues. They have a little primer on ballot petition basics with a list of just kind of advice on what to do before you sign a petition, and also what it takes to get a proposal on the ballot in terms of the number of signatures, the process, getting the language approved, the time frame, and all of those details, which can be pretty complicated. They also have newsletters you can sign up for. So I'm a big fan of their work, and I think it's really informative.
It most certainly is. And speaking of informative, that's what the purpose of school is. And I just want to take a moment here to point out that with school back in session, the boards of education across the county are going to be meeting regularly once again. This week, that includes the Washtenaw Intermediate School District Board on Tuesday, the Ann Arbor Public School Board of Education Wednesday, and at the higher education level, the University of Michigan Board of Regents will meet on Thursday. In our remaining moments, Mommy, I want to talk, Mary, I want to talk a little bit about something else. We've followed along as the conversation about what to do with the so-called library lot has played out. Council's decided to sell off the property for $10 million that would ultimately result in another high-rise development. There are those that are still working to rescind that decision, instead preferring the lot be used to create another city park. This call to reclaim open space in urban cities is part of the dialogue in communities across the country. And this Friday, there's actually a day reserved for taking notice of that conversation, right?
Yes, I love this day. Regardless of what you think about the parking versus park space, National Parking Day, playing on the word park in the word parking, is really a playful, creative effort to rethink the way that we use our urban space. I don't know what's going to be happening this year locally.
But it's been noted before, in a public way, hasn't it?
Oh, for sure. When I was doing the Chronicle, we have several years of photos from different folks who have basically taken over spaces downtown, rolled out some AstroTurf and the beach umbrella and some chairs and just hang out for a couple hours, bring some plants. People have gotten really creative, and so it's fun to think about the way things could be and just mix it up a little bit.
And of course, this is not just a local event. This is something that is taking place in cities across the country. It is National Parking Day, and you can learn more at parkingday.org. Mary, I thank you very much for your time and the information today, and we'll see you next week.
Always a pleasure, David.
That is Mary Morgan, the Executive Director of the Civ City Initiative, and my partner each Monday for Civic Matters. Next Monday, Mary's going to be here to discuss how you can helpfully engage your community NPR station. That's right. The WEMU On Air Pledge Drive is kicking off on Wednesday of this week, and it will run through next Wednesday. To support all programming on WEMU, including Civic Matters, get an early pledge in at WEMU.org and help us meet our $220,000 fall pledge drive goal. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.